While most of the Western media attention has been on Darfur, another humanitarian disaster has been developing in the Horn of Africa. The Ethiopian government has launched a military campaign in its Ogaden region, a remote area that borders on Somalia, but it's civilians who have borne the brunt of the attacks. The United States provides a great deal of aid and military support to Ethiopia. In the second part of today's Underreported, we will look into the situation there. And with me now is Tom Porteous, London Director of Human Rights Watch. It's a pleasure to welcome you to our show. Hello.
Hello.
In a recent article in the London Guardian, you described Ethiopia's actions in Ogaden as a dirty war. Why do you call it a dirty war?
Essentially because the Ethiopians, as well as the forces that they're fighting, that is the forces of the Ogaden National Liberation Front, both sides in this civil war are using illegal methods. On the Ethiopian side, there have been attacks on civilians. There's been a form of collective punishment in which villages, which are seen to be sympathetic to the rebel Ogaden National Liberation Front, have been burnt. Livestock have been confiscated. And, of course, in this region, which is a pastoralist region, livestock are a linchpin of the local economy. And all this has led to a quite serious humanitarian disaster. The extent of it is not entirely known because it is so remote. This week, a UN fact-finding mission has been in the region, and we're looking forward to hearing what their report is next week.
Is the Ogaden National Liberation Front calling for a separate state? Ethiopia has been beset by separatist movements. It lost the whole territory that is now the country of Eritrea.
Indeed. The Ogaden National Liberation Front was actually at one time allied to the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, which now forms the bulk of the government in Ethiopia. But they fell out shortly after the TPLF took power. And since the 1990s, they have been fighting effectively for secession. Of course, the Ogaden National Liberation Front is an ethnic Somali group, as is the whole Ogaden region. And therefore, the situation in the Ogaden is very much related to the situation in Somalia, where, as you know, the Ethiopian military is very active, having displaced earlier this year, with the support of the American military, the Islamic Courts Union. And the situation in Somalia remains extremely difficult, I think, for the Ethiopians.
So is that one of the reasons that Ethiopia was willing to go into Somalia, because it was also concerned about its own Somali population?
Well, in fact, since the UN withdrew from Somalia in the mid-1990s, Ethiopia has gone into Somalia militarily on several occasions, and it's always justified that by saying that the Ogaden National Liberation Front and other groups fighting, rebel groups fighting in Ethiopia, have received support from groups inside a very anarchic Somalia. And indeed, that's the justification they give for their presence in Somalia at the moment, or at least one of them. The problem, of course, is that one of the reasons, perhaps, why the Ogaden National Liberation Front decided to escalate its rebellion in April and May of this year may well have been related to the Ethiopian presence in Somalia. At any rate, after that escalation, the Ethiopians announced a major military operation, a counterinsurgency in the Ogaden National Liberation Front, and that's what we're concerned about, the fact that civilians have borne the brunt of that counterinsurgency operation.
My guest is Tom Porteous, London Director of Human Rights Watch. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. But it's my sense that both sides, the Ethiopian government and the Ogaden National Liberation Front, bear a lot of responsibility for this conflict. No good guys in this fight?
Not really. I mean, the attacks by the Ogaden National Liberation Front, which sparked this latest escalation, were quite serious attacks in which civilians were killed. There were three separate attacks in April and May, and there was quite serious civilian suffering as a result of that. But now the Ethiopians have responded. And one does have to sympathize to some extent with the Ethiopian government. I mean, it is a very difficult country to govern, and the Ethiopians are in a very tough neighborhood. But that the fact that they face very serious challenges does not in any way justify the kind of violations of human rights law and international humanitarian law, that is the laws of war, that we've been seeing recently, not only in the Ogaden, but also in Somalia. And as you heard earlier from your earlier guest, the sorts of abuses that take place within the national political process.
Where do the civilians flee to? Are there refugee camps popping up in other countries?
Well, camps would be perhaps too much, but certainly there have been there has been massive displacement. Thousands of displaced people have been seeking refuge. These are people who are already pastoralist people, so they can survive in rather inhospitable conditions. But yes, they have been turning up on the borders of Ethiopia, across the border in Somaliland, that's the northwestern part of Somalia, and also in Kenya. And there is considerable concern for the safety for these displaced people, particularly as the Ethiopian government has restricted access to humanitarian organizations. The ICRC, the Red Cross, was expelled in late July.
Why?
Well, the Ethiopian government said that ICRC, that is Red Cross staff, local staff in the Ogaden, were supporting the rebels. Of course, the ICRC denies that. And then another aid agency, Médecins Sans Frontières, has been refused access recently to its displaced people in Ogaden, and they're unable to do the work that they want to do there, the humanitarian relief work which they need to do there, and which they say is very urgent.
So this is a way for the Ethiopian government to punish the people of the region.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the concern that we've highlighted, is that, and this is one of the ways in which we feel the Ethiopian military has been violating international humanitarian law. Collective punishment is forbidden when it targets civilians in this way. There's also been, as far as we can see, at least a partial trade blockade, not an aid blockade, but a trade blockade to those parts of the Ogaden region, which is actually quite a big region, but to those parts where the Ogaden National Liberation Front is active and where they are seen by the Ethiopians to have considerable local popular support.
The Ogaden National Liberation Front recently attacked a Chinese-run oil exploration facility. Why attack that? Did they want the Chinese out?
I don't know exactly why that was. I mean, I think they wanted to create some sort of event that would draw public attention to their struggle. And I think the reason why they decided to do that at this particular time, this was back in April, was because of the situation in Somalia. They may have felt that the Ethiopians were militarily overstretched and that this was a good time to escalate their own rebellion. But I that's only speculation. It's very hard for me to tell what's in the minds of the leaders of the Ogaden National Liberation Front.
Well, it's kind of stunning when you look at all the turmoil in the Horn of Africa. Are these situations related in any way? Can we see the situation in Sudan and Somalia, Somalia, obviously, but in Sudan is also having some kind of impact on Ethiopia?
Well, I mean, I think it's very important for those in the international community who are trying to deal with the various conflicts in the Horn of Africa to understand that all these conflicts are interrelated in some way. There are regional dimensions, there are cross-border dimensions, there are cross-cutting issues such as the proliferation of small arms and light weapons and so forth, which need to be dealt with on a regional level. I think that's all very important. There is also a regional organization, the Intergovernmental Agency on Development, which has been seeking to address some of these issues in a regional manner and through the regional actors, but it hasn't been very effective up until now. I don't think, though, that specifically there is a connection between, for example, what's going on in Darfur and what's going on in the Ogaden. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain actors, for example, You know, the Eritrean government, which has been supporting at some point Darfuri rebels against the Sudanese government, and there have been, and the Eritreans have also supported some of the insurgents in Somalia. They may be supporting the Ogaden National Liberation Front as well. There are sort of these regional, if you like, larger regional struggles between the main regional players. And of course, with the war on terror, you know, some of the international players are involved as well. I mean, the United States is very concerned, obviously, about what's going on in the region, and they see Ethiopia very much as an ally, and that means that that they have sort of seem to have taken sides in some of these regional conflicts.
And are willing to look the other way at some of the excesses of Meles Zenawi's government. The Lieutenant Commander Joe Carpenter, a Pentagon spokesman, said recently that the Ethiopian and U.S. militaries have a close working relationship. Is that reflected in what you've been seeing in the Ogaden?
In the Ogaden, I'm not sure. I mean, there have been various reports which we've not been able to confirm about some sort of U.S. military advice or something like that. I don't think that there is any serious U.S. military presence. Of course, the U.S. has a presence in Djibouti, which is, you know, the eastern neighbor, a small ethnically mostly Somali country to the east of Ethiopia, on the coast between Ethiopia and Somaliland. The U.S. military has also been involved, as I said earlier, in some of the military action that that has taken place in the course of this year in Somalia. They were involved in some helicopter gunship attacks at the time when the Ethiopians were flushing out the Islamic Courts Union, the group that was controlling Mogadishu up until December of this year. When the Ethiopians were flushing that group out, the U.S. military did get involved in that operation, and they have been, you know, keeping a very close eye, obviously, and a military presence in the region as part of the counterterrorism operation operations of the U.S. throughout that region.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today on Underreported. Tom Porteous is the London Director of Human Rights Watch, and we will be keeping an eye on the situation in the Horn of Africa. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you.